Welcome to Hammer Don, the number one gambling podcast coming out of the PMI office. I am your host, Tony Diggs. I'm currently joined by Bubba Gumpino and Boston Connor. And you can hear this man every single day on VSiN, on the Lombardi line, and also his podcast, The GM Shuffle, Mr. Michael Lombardi. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you, guys. Good to be here, man. Nice week, huh?
Yeah,
fun weekend.
Hey, it was great. It was great to be back. I have to talk to you real quick about something that happened on Saturday to me. I had a four-team underdog parlay. It was ULL, Arkansas State, Georgia Tech, and Coastal Carolina.
Gorgeous.
And I had them winning. Hit the first two games, obviously. Georgia Tech goes down 10. They have a 5% chance to win. FanDuel gave me a cash-out option of $200. I should tell you that I placed a bet for $20, and it was to win $8,000.
Great return.
And when they were down 10, I decided to cash out $200. Georgia Tech ended up winning. Coastal Carolina ended up winning. So I cost myself $8,000 this weekend, Michael.
I am so sorry. I think the lesson to learn there is, yeah, you always want to matriculate the ball down the field, but you had only 20 in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Why not ride it?
And, I know.
You know, I think the lesson also is when gamblers, people that play or watching games, this is a Belichickian thing that I'm going to talk about. It's you have to know who's in control and who's in the lead. And sometimes those things are different.
Uh-huh.
You know, and sometimes just because Florida State's in the lead, that doesn't necessarily mean they have control of the game.
Correct.
And I think when you're making those bets, and I'm not trying to be critical,
you
have to take that. Like last night, I thought the Rams were in control of the game. You know? And even if Dallas would have kicked the field goal to make it 20-20, I think the Rams would have scored. Say Dallas would have scored a touchdown, I think the Rams would have come back and scored. I think the Rams changed their offensive philosophy as it related to later in the game to be more 4 minute than it was to be aggressive and score. The toss crack play on third and two would never have happened if they weren't really trying to make sure that Dallas didn't have enough time to get the ball back.
All right, let's start right there because that was a game that you liked last week because of the way that the money was going. And you said the Rams are never going to be better than they are in week one this year. They were healthy. The Sharps were on the right side. They were home dog. What did you see from that game? Does the Cowboys offense, is it the exact same as last year?
Yeah, well, because Kellen Moore's running the offense. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know what McCarthy's doing. I mean, they hire Mike McCarthy, and he's standing there. He's like you and I, just watching the game, you know. And, I mean, you hire Mike McCarthy, you want him to run the offense. You want him to bring a level of toughness to your team. Meanwhile, Jerry Jones wants Kellen Moore to run the offense. I don't know why he hired Mike McCarthy. I really don't.
Michael, I literally just asked Pat and AJ this on the Pat McAfee show. How long before McCarthy takes over play calling?
I would think he wants to do it this week. I mean, I thought Zeke was in control of that game there. I thought they were getting Zeke the ball in the passing game. I think Zeke could have gained 5-6 yards anytime he wants. Every time the Cowboys lose, I always think, damn, they should have gotten Zeke the ball more. I never think that, they didn't win because they didn't play Zeke. And defensively, look, they're starting to take some, you know, they lose Jarwin, the tight end.
Yep.
They lose Vanderbosch, the linebacker for the season. Those are two. I mean, Jalen Smith, we can talk about Pro Football Focus is great on him and how he's blah, blah, blah. He hasn't played well in 2 years. He didn't play well all of last year. He didn't play well last night. So their secondary is problematic. I think the Rams knew if they got to a man-to-man game, they could have taken advantage of it. And look, for me, with Goff, that game was more clearly why I would have paid Sean McVay $35 million instead of Goff.
Yes, yes.
Because Goff didn't make a throw in that game other than the deep throw outside to Jefferson, which was beautiful. He didn't have to make a hard throw in the game. He didn't.
And that's what McVay does for him.
That's what McVay does for him. You could put anybody – I mean, I don't want to minimize Jared Goff, but $33 million for that's a lot.
Exactly. Exactly. 1,000%. Hey, good call on that game. I was 2-2 this weekend. You're currently 1-1 with, I believe, with the Broncos to go tonight, if I am correct.
Yes.
Gumpy was 1-2.
Yeah, I got burned on the Panthers. That fourth down play hurt a lot.
Yeah, I didn't like that call either. I think if you're going to go down with your best player. I think they would have scored on that drive. If you're a Raider fan, you got to wonder to yourself, if we can't hold Carolina to under 30, how are we going to stop the Chiefs? That's all I kept thinking about watching that game. Like this new and improved Raider defense, tell me where – I mean, because I thought Carolina – look, we know Carolina's not great on defense.
Correct.
I thought Carolina had every Teddy Bridgewater played within himself. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I think both of those teams are going to be a strong overlook for the rest of the season. Let's jump to New England, where you were. Boston Connor's in the office or in the studio. Huge, huge New England
fan. Love him.
He is head over heels about the performance yesterday. He's head over heels about the new ground and pound. What do you think about that game yesterday and New England going forward?
I think what I regret the most about last week being on this show was not saying to the audience, look, I think the smart play would have been just play great coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Play Pete Carroll, play John Harbaugh, play Bill Belichick, play Andy Reid, and play Sean Payton. And tonight I would play Mike Tomlin. So I people can say Mike Tomlin's not a great coach. Well, Mike Tomlin will get his team ready to play. There's never that. So, does he have some issues with game management? Yeah, I think it was the Patriots were well coached. They started the first half out really with only five passes. They tried to run the football. They established. They got Cam kind of into the game. And then the second half, they came out winging it, and it looked great. I mean, I thought they were really good. I think they're going to expand what they do offensively. You know, I think Cam's foot movement, his ability to run gives some problems. I thought their offensive line played really well. And I think, to be honest with you, I think the players on that team really like Cam Newton. They really rally around him.
Hell yeah, Mike. Yeah, they do. Your son is actually the wide receivers coach for New England. And basically, the only worry for anybody is, hey, who's he throwing the ball to? Is there any thought like, hey, my son's the coach there. Can you stop talking shit about the wide receivers?
He did get a shout out on the broadcast, by the way, too. I'm sure you heard that yesterday.
My wife did, yeah. She said that Jim Nantz gave him a little love, which is awful nice. Jim Nantz did the voiceover for his wedding when they played out at Pebble Beach.
That's awesome.
My two sons did the Jim and I go back to CBS together. Tremendous, one of the greatest human beings of all time. And when they were teeing off on the 18th at Pebble for their round, Jim did the voice, which is one of the treasures in our family. So it's great. It was nice of him to do that.
So anything on the wide receivers? Do you think we're going to add anybody, or is that even like a worry for you because Cam Newton's so good mobily?
I think that they're not. I think Isaiah Bird, Dimitric Bird didn't really get a chance to show that he can do some things. You know, Edelman had that one drop in the first half, but I think Harry developed. He was starting to come on. I mean, he fumbles the ball on the one-inch line, which is a killer. Or else that's an 18-point route. You know, that might go – the over might hit there. So you know, I think they're going to continue to grow and develop at their receiving core. Gunner, the young kid, the kick returner, he's not able to play right now because of an injury. But I think they're going to get better, and I think they're going to know what to do. They've got to get the tight ends involved, I think. And I think you'll see the kid from UCLA start to become more of a factor as the year wears on. They trust him more.
Do you think there's a chance they go after Zach Ertz now that there's all that drama in Philly brewing around him?
I don't think so, because that means they got to pay Zach Ertz, you know? They can trade for him, you got to pay him. I mean, I don't see that. I think they like these tight ends they have. I think they need to play them.
Okay.
Michael, let's go down to New Orleans. Guy you were with in New England, Tommy Brady, looked a little rusty in his first start down there. And Bruce Arians has not held back on him. He said that he read the interception wrong with Mike Evans, bad throw to the outside. Then he came back this morning and said Tom has looked great in practice. We didn't see anything that we didn't expect. What do you think about Bruce's comments in that game today or tomorrow yesterday?
Well, I mean, you know, welcome to the world outside of Bill Belichick. I mean, Belichick would have never said that, you know. I mean, Jesus, God, Bruce is just gunning them down. You know, I mean, you know, look, I don't think they did a great job. I don't think fundamentally that the Tampa Bay Bucs were that good. You know, they had penalties. You know, they didn't really, to me, they looked sloppy. And I think Brady looked uncomfortable. I think the biggest issue when you're starting a team with a lot of new players is who's your identity, right? Who is your identity? Who's getting the ball when it's critical? You know, who's the main runner? What roles do players have on the team? And I thought the Bucks were really just, we got a lot of good players. Everybody's got to get the ball. That's Bruce's job to define the roles. You know, I didn't think Gronk looked particularly good. Nope. You know, I think their offense looked like last year. There's miscommunication. It's the same thing. You know, did he say that when Winston was throwing interceptions? You know, it's funny. He's a lot nicer to Winston than he was to Brady. Get some of the Winston quotes from last year.
Hey, Paizan.
I heard your rant about Jacksonville. I don't think Jacksonville won the game. I don't think you can get mad at people for that. I think that the Colts lost the game.
I was lied to. I was told that team stinks. That team, Gardner Minshew, 19 of 20, might be the best quarterback in the league right now.
Maybe Eberflus might want to play something other than Tampa, too. You might want to think about that a little bit. You know, and look, you miss, you know, when are we going to realize you for the brand, you should be echoing this more than I am. A missed field goal is a turnover. It's a turnover.
I know.
Yesterday, there were 12 field goal attempts over 50 yards. 7 of them were missed. Most of the teams that missed them, Philadelphia, Dallas, you know, all the, they missed field goals. It cost them. They gave up 3 points on the other end. Houston did it on Thursday night. And I think really, and I haven't watched the tape. I'm going to watch it. But just watching the game, I thought Indy gave them the game. I don't think Jacksonville won the game. I think Indy gave it to them on a platter. They were bad on third down. They were bad in the red zone.
I'll tell you what. Indianapolis hates Phil Rivers, man. It is bad. It's going to be tough to turn that whole team around. I didn't even know that they were running Tampa 2 the entire time because that's a problem because the seams will get absolutely crushed in the Tampa 2, and that's really what the league is turning to because I thought the defense didn't look anywhere near what we thought it was going to be. Obviously, Phil Rivers, he'll throw it into a defensive meeting room, get a pick, go to the sideline, dadgummit, come right back in. He'll do it again.
I mean, the difference is, did you see Reich's comments after it? You know, Reich took the heat for it. They played two trap on the one. They weren't expecting it, and Phillip threw it in there. But, you know, look, again, you know, they did the things you can't do. And that one thing that scared me, and Pittsburgh might get beat tonight in my survivor pool, but what scared me was the heat and humidity down there wearing down. I thought the fourth quarter could be a problem. And it really wasn't, you know, that didn't end up being the case.
I saw the Cowboys-Rams on the sidebar there. Great sidebar, Mitt, by the way. You're doing a great job, intern Mitt. Hey, have you talked about Cowboys-Rams yet?
Yeah. He let off of it.
How did you know the Rams are going to – because did you see his tweet yesterday? He was like, some sharp money's coming in on the Rams. I saw your tweet yesterday, and I was like, what does that mean? What does these sharp people know that everybody else know? What do they know? What was the big conversation, you think, that led everybody to realize the Rams are going to make the Dallas Cowboys look exactly like the Dallas Cowboys have looked in the past, even though they've paid a bunch of people, they got a new coach in there, they got a new mindset. Here we are. It looks like the Cowboys are saying the Cowboys, and somehow the Rams look a lot better than they did last year. How do the sharp money Italians, I'd assume, because it always feels like Italians figure out something.
Oh, yeah.
How do they know that? How do the sharp money people know that?
I got a tip yesterday from the guy, my man Thomas Gable at the Borgata, where I do my show on Sunday.
Beautiful, beautiful hotel.
He gave me a tip. Said, I hear the main sharp guy, one of the greatest sports bettor of all time, is a man by the name of Billy Walters. Billy Walters was in jail in that Phil Mickelson case. Do you remember this years ago? Insider trading on a stock, and Mickelson got out of it, but Billy Walters got sent to prison down there. Well, he got released last May. He's back in business again. And the buzz around Vegas that reached my ears was he was all over the Rams.
Oh.
Now, I can't prove that, but that's what I tweeted out. He was all over the Rams. Now, he's got algorithms. He's got all sorts of information. I've actually had lunch with Billy back in 1998 when he was building a golf course in Vegas that were going to be the best 18 holes over in England. He brought them to America. That's now the Raiders parking lot for the stadium that they use because he obviously had some financial trouble. But that was when Denver played Atlanta. And he was all over the under in that game. And do you remember that game? Chris Chandler went for two and didn't get it. and he was all over it. Not that I bet it because I didn't, but he was all over the under. But the guy named Dan Chandler introduced me to him because I was in Vegas with my wife having dinner. He said, hey, you got to meet this guy, Billy Walters. He loves football. And I did.
Billy Walter. Well, I don't know who this guy is. Great name. Sounds like he's Irish, too, which I fucking love.
Savant. Keep feeding these.
I don't know what he is. I mean, he's from Kentucky. He is. Now, so you know what these guys do, Pat. So they don't have, and I have a screenplay written basically loosely based on Billy Walter.
You write screenplays?
Yeah, I did. I wrote it. I haven't, but I got to get an agent to help me sell it, but I haven't. But it's about a guy who basically it's modeled after Billy. Billy has runners. So a lot of these guys that are really heavy players, that's why Vegas Dave's a fraud, because everybody knows who he is. Anybody who plays serious cash never goes to the window. Fans need to know that. They're never going to the window, because if Billy Walters walks up to Caesars and says, I'm laying 50 large on, you know, they're worried. They don't want to know that, right? So they all have runners that run the money, and they have guys that do it for them. And a lot of guys in Vegas have done it for Billy before, but the whole screenplay is about how this family makes money betting football.
Oh, Billy Walton.
That's awesome.
Michael, one more thing before we get to tonight's games. Not that Matt Stafford played bad last night, but is he still the best quarterback in the NFC North?
Well, I mean, based on the way that Aaron played yesterday, you know, Aaron looked like he was back, throwing the ball down the field, making plays. I mean, it's a new year, right? So, bingo. You know, I got to say, but it was one game. That Minnesota defense, I mean, I'll say this. Matt LaFleur knows what Mike Zimmer's doing. There's no doubt. He's got a handle on him. He really does. I mean, this is the third game in a row that the Packers have dominated the Vikings. And three times in a row isn't a charm. It's knowledge. And you know LaFleur understands what he's trying to do, and he attacks him. And I thought Aaron made plays. I don't understand, guys, how the best receiver on your team gets 17 targets and 14 receptions, and there's really no one else other on the team. Like, if Belichick's playing Green Bay, they're doubling Devontae. The minute he walks in the stadium, there are going to be two guys around him. And then some Scantling or whatever, somebody else is going to make a play. I thought Aaron was really good.
Yeah, but what about Mitch Trubisky in the fourth quarter?
That's MVP. He was your boy, MVP Mitch.
I'm ready for that. Now, he's 2-for-11 on third down. What did I tell you about the Detroit Lions? Worst 2-minute defense in all of football. They get a 23-6 lead. They get a 23-6 lead in with 3 minutes to go. Now, let's go back to missed field goals being turnovers. They're up 23-10. They're up 23 to 10 in the fourth quarter. First and 10 at Chicago's 35. They score there. This game's over, right? It's over. They end up trying a 55-yard field goal. Turnover. Next thing you know, now if Swift catches that ball, Chicago doesn't win it. But the reality of it is this is the second year in a row the Detroit Lions have had a big lead on opening day, and their two-minute defense has let them down.
It was the Cardinals last year, and Kyler Murray looked incredible yesterday. But
yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Michael, tonight, I know you like the Broncos. That was one of your picks. Is that also because the sharp money's there? And I know
what the fuck is Billy Walter doing?
Yeah, that's all we need to know.
Billy Walters, I don't know what he's playing tonight. There is this line is kind of, you know, it opened. I like any line that opens, you know, Denver was the favorite when the line opened, right? And then next thing you know, now they're getting 3 points, which, why not? I'll take it. The other thing I thought I learned yesterday was what happened last year happened last year. It doesn't carry over. Mm. Like, I was an idiot for picking the Falcons because I thought they could build off of last year. Yeah, they built off of last year. They threw the ball for a zillion yards. They didn't win, you know. And I went against Russell Wilson, which I should never do. I know Russell Wilson too well to do that. But so I like Denver tonight because I don't like them because where the money's going. I like them because of Mile High, Vic Fangio. I think if you force Tennessee to have to play a drop back pass game, they did a good job on him the last year on Derrick Henry. I think they can do a good job this year on him.
You and I disagree on that game tonight mightily.
You're going hard Tennessee, huh?
Hard, yeah. Just because strictly, I don't know. I think Derrick Henry, figured out how to play football as Derrick Henry last year, and they rode him. Now, granted, they run into the buzzsaw of the Chiefs in the playoffs, but I just think, granted, Mile High is a different animal. Without the fans, though, the fans are very good out there. As long as Derrick Henry's in shape, play action should be good for Tannehill as it was last year. They should be able to move. I just feel like the Titans, I don't know, I'm on the Titans. I've been cold. Okay, Colts fucked me completely yesterday, but I like the Titans for whatever reason. I don't. But
I'm going to go with the Colts. I mean, I'm going to go with the. I like the. I think that altitude. I think the start time. I think those things start to become a problem. You know, and I think that one thing about Tennessee, there's an interesting stat you should always pay attention to. It's called rushes and completions. This is a Bill Parcells thing. Parcells believed this more than anything. Parcells would come in on Monday morning and he would calculate everybody's rushes and completions. As a coach, that tells you how your execution is. So you add the rushes, the rushing attempts, to the completed passes, and you get a number. Yesterday, you know, the Rams were one of the best teams in football in rushes and completion. They did a great job. You know, the Rams did it. Let me go on through.
How many notes do you have there, Michael?
New England.
Buffalo, Green Bay was good at it, you know, and so Arizona was as well. So what that tells you, what does that tell us? It tells us your execution. How are you executing? Because like Philadelphia, they weren't executing. They had 42 passing attempts and 17 rushing attempts. They had like 23 completions. So they never got their number. You've got to be above 55 in that category, combine the two, however you do it. And when you do that, that tells you as an executive or as a coach, You are executing. Your pad level's good. Your fundamentals are good. All that. I think it's going to take Tennessee some time to get their fundamentals and their techniques down.
Son of a bitch,
Michael. And then I obviously am not picking this game. I'm a Steelers fan. I never touch them. But
oh, how honorable.
Well, I don't want to jinx them. I don't want to jinx them.
Smart, especially if you're going to cash out.
Correct.
Halftime.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. True. Did you hear that, Lombardi? I missed you. I was taking a poop because I had a 3-hour show. I can't poop. But did you hear what this dude did?
So bad. I mean, that's just like, you know, I mean, oh, God. You know, he should just follow Wimpy's advice. I'd gladly play you tomorrow for a hamburger today. He should have just basically waited for tomorrow, right? Just not do it.
Despicable. It embarrassing. I mean, it was tough to know him. I assume the Italians were trying to write him off at one point. Oh.
It wasn't great Saturday night or Sunday morning. But then the NFL kicked off, and I was back to normal.
Forget it.
But I love the Steelers matchup strictly because their defense against that offensive line. And then Big Ben coming back against a New York Giants defense that doesn't really threaten anybody. I think it's a good matchup for the Steelers to start.
I do too. And I think if you look at Pat Graham as a defense coordinator, he's pretty vanilla. He's a bend but don't break kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I think they'll make a lot of plays. I think they're healthy, Connor. I worry. What I learned yesterday was some of these new coaches are going to struggle getting things organized. Look at Cleveland. Cleveland had 3 or 4 really good plays, and then they had 3 or 4 really bad plays. I think when you look at some of the stuff that was going on in the league, especially with the newer staffs, Washington won that game because of defensive line, not because their offense was good, you know, and all that. So I think it's going to be. I do. I like Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh because I think Tomlin, and I'm in the minority on this, I think Tomlin's one of the best coaches in the league. Everybody gives him shit. I think he gets his team ready to play. I think they play hard. I do. I think he's great on game management. No, but I think you got to give and get there. I just think his team will be ready. Plus, he understands how to open up the season.
I agree 1,000%. Mike, we'll let you get out of here while we and the show on the other side. We appreciate your time. We'll see you on Thursday.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, all right, Mike.
Bye, Zion.
All right, so you're going Titans tonight?
I'm going Titans hard. I'm going Steelers hard. Then parlay Moneyline, both of them at +123 right now. Hard. I just bet the Steelers while he was talking there. Listening to him agree with what we think, I like a lot. But it moved from 5.5 to 6, by the way. -6 right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I took it still. Don't care. Let's go ahead and have this thing. But I got Titans and Steelers tonight. It does worry me, though, that he is not about the Titans, though, because old Lombardi does very well in the gambling department.
Yeah, but it makes no sense. He was talking about he wants to bet good coaches. And, like, obviously Vrabel's the guy against Fangio, so it's got to be Steelers-Titans.
Yeah, I hate going against home dogs. I really do. Gumpy, you taking anything tonight?
I like the Steelers 5-2 against the spread last 7 on Monday nights. And Giants are 1-10 against the spread. Their last 11 as a home dog.
Yeah, they absolutely stink. And like I said, Mike Tomlin 15-2 money line on Monday night, and then he's won 8 straight on Monday night. He loves when the lights come on.
I'm pumped for tonight, Monday Night Football. You got Herb Street, Fowler first game, Levy, Riddick, Greasy second game. I mean, let's go ahead and have a Monday night on ESPN. I'm pumped for the Steelers though. Yeah. I'm excited to watch what that team is. Roethlisberger never gets the credit he deserves on the field because of everything he does off the field, and that has continued this offseason. If he's healthy, seeing things right, I don't see how they lose. I have no idea how they lose, especially with that defense, what they were last year. And then for the Titans, I've said this a couple times, Derrick Henry knows how to play like Derrick Henry now, and it's like, all right, if he gets going, he gets going.
What happened to Big Ben this offseason?
What are you talking about?
He has testimony about Jesus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
What did you just try to do there?
No. I just wasn't sure what you were referring to with the offseason with Big Ben, just because I didn't think there was anything that really harped on.
Hey, it's a gambling show. I don't want to interrupt the flow. It's your show. I just got an email, though. It says, we're trying to reach Emmett McMahon regarding some of the problems you're having with your phones. However, he left a phone number where the voicemail box is full and we cannot leave a message and has not left an email address. Could you please let him know? We have tried to reach out several times at this point.
Yeah, I was having problems with the phones. I figured it out. I just had to restart the system. I got it, though. So,
but how is Emmett the contact for this company?
That was my question, too.
This is not Emmett's fault. This is, I think, our fault for allowing Emmett to potentially be a contact for this company that is legit, by the way. They got an entire...
Did you know you can check your voicemails, Mitt?
Or just delete them all.
And why would you give your phone number?
Yeah.
I own phone, bro. Call me. I'll be at the house. So,
Mitt, it'd also be a problem for me as a host if your dad coaches for the Broncos. If I didn't ask how's he feel about tonight's game? How does he feel about tonight's game?
I think he's feeling pretty good. I don't really know. I haven't actually talked to him about it yet.
Dynamite dropping, good Mitt. Luck. I think
they got a new punter too. Sam Martin, very good. Yep. I think he's potentially going to punt a lot tonight. He does very good. McManus just got inked in there for the Broncos. I like the Broncos team. I like Drew Lock a lot. Yeah. I just like the way the Titans played football last year. Grind and pound. We're not going to let you have the ball for long. And Derrick Henry's a defensive end who runs fast. Yeah.
I think the Titans are going to run the ball. And I think Denver's going to try to run the ball just because Drew Lock is young. And so is every single one of his weapons on offense besides Melvin Gordon and besides Philip Lindsay. 16-0 was the score last year of this game in Denver. Ooh. I'm going to go the under because of that reason. I don't think the teams have changed that much.
Like that.
Pat is going with the Titans and the Steelers. Gumpy, you're going with Steelers.
You got it, pal.
Connor, you taking any picks?
Titans, Steelers, baby.
Titans, Steelers.
I'm betting the coaches. I think Lombardi's right there.
Yeah. That was 1,000% right this weekend, and you could tell when you saw it on the field. We appreciate all of you listening. You can also check out, if you can't catch us live, we do put it out as a podcast every single day. We will see you on Thursday.